Greet each one in Christ's name this morning. This week as I was thinking about a message and I guess I was also a lot of the week thinking about how we can relate Christ to our neighbors. And it seemed like lately we've been doing a lot there with some of the neighbors moving cattle around and stuff, and I had to wonder, you know, if they knew how imperfect we are, our churches are, if they would be attracted to Christianity. And then as I thought about that, I guess it got me thinking, and I realized that if it's me that they're attracted to, it won't work. We need to have something in us that attracts them, and if it's ourself, we as humans will fail them. And I want to take my message out of Matthew 5 this morning. You're welcome to turn there. My title is, Ye Are the Light of the World. We're going to start at verse 13, chapter 5. And it doesn't start with light, it starts with something else. In verse 13 it says, Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You know, as I thought about that, you know, we use salt all the time. We use it for cooking, for curing, salt is powerful in a lot of ways, if for the right purpose. And it acts quickly. You pour, when your eggs aren't right in the morning, you put a little salt on and instantly it tastes right. It's powerful. You put salt on and it changes whatever it touches. It affects whatever it is on and it penetrates. People, maybe not as much anymore, they use other more modern things probably, but salt was used as a curing for meat and stuff to preserve it. Salt will take out some things, like as we grew up we hunted a lot of antelope. They had a strong taste in them, and we would put the meat in a large cooler with salt water, and it would take that taste out. Salt is powerful. And this morning he says, Ye are the salt of the earth. And salt gives flavor. It affects that's around it. You know, as you think about that, how am I in relation like salt? Do I affect those around me? Do I change things? Salt as a preserver can preserve from corruption. Am I doing that? And if we're to be like salt, we're to be examples, I believe. We need to make a difference. And if we would turn to Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I should have wrote that down. And the joints and marrow, I believe it says. You know, it goes into the innermost. Salt doesn't stop at a, if you put enough salt in it, it will preserve that whole piece of meat. It will touch it. And God says, the word of God is like that. The word of God is sharp. It divides. It's, you know, it says it pierces even to the dividing asunder. You know, think of bone and marrow, like, you think affecting the bone would be enough, but to go into the marrow, the innermost part, it affects everything. And then he says, a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. This morning, the word of God is powerful. You and I can, if we look to ourselves to try to make that difference, to be the salt of the earth, we won't make that difference that we want to see in people, because as humans, we have the sinful nature. But as Christ comes in, makes difference in our Sunday school, we were talking about that a little bit. And I don't understand everything either about the fountain there that it was talking about, but I truly believe that as you read later on in that chapter, it talked about there would be a time where that would go from the water, it said the fountain would flow from Jerusalem, would go to the east and to the west, cover the plain, it said. And as I thought about that, that's how God's word is now. There, it affects everyone. And the gospel affects the heart. It reaches the heart. The peace that we often feel in our hearts, we can keep things from those around us. And yes, we can. We can live a double life if that's what we chose to do. But God says, my word will reach your heart. And in Acts 2, I was looking and I just found a verse in verse 37. And Peter was preaching and it says they were pricked in their hearts. And I thought about that. That's the word of God. It touches the things that we don't want it to touch because there's a reason we don't want it touched. They were pricked in their hearts. They were moved to do something about that. The word of God is powerful. As salt affects whatever it is applied to, so you and I need to affect those around us. But that verse has a lesson in it, or a couple lessons. He says, ye are the salt of the earth. Then he says, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? In time, salt becomes tasteless, and it's good for nothing. Once it has no taste, once it has no power, there's nothing to do with salt. It loses its goodness. And you can't put more salt on that salt to try to correct that. You need to get rid of it. And I believe there's many things to look at that, but I want to think about you and I this morning. We know where our relationship is with Christ. We don't need someone else to say, sometimes some people come to us and they say, look, we see this, but you and I know how our relationship is with Christ. We know where we rate. Are we junk or are we affecting those around us? Are we like salt where we've just kind of gone with the flow now and we come to church, yes, because we know that's expected of us because we're a member here. But does my life show that Christ is in me? That his word has went into my heart? You and I are useless in God's kingdom if we do not have his word alive in us. Go on, verse 13. I'm not sure if I finished reading that verse or not. Don't remember. Let's read verse 13 and then keep going into 14. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost the savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We looked at salt there and we went through it rather quickly because that wasn't the main focus I wanted to spend time on this morning. But I wanted to think about being a light. There's so much darkness in this world. And as careful as we may be, I feel at times we tend to the world affects us more than we want it to. And we need to wake up every morning determined to be a light and to have Christ's light in us. 1 John 1 says, verse 6, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Let's just turn there, actually. I want to look at those verses, spend a little more time in there. Because, you know, it starts with an if there. It makes it personal. 1 John 1, verse 6. If we say then that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If there's some ifs in there. Jesus says in John 8, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. And then here he says, if we want to be a light, we need to walk in the light. We need to have that light in us. That light needs to change us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice those R's in there. It's all myself we need to work with. It's all the relationship I need to worry about this morning is my own relationship, because I need to have my relationship with Christ right before I can share it with someone else. And as lights, we are seen. I truly believe that Christians stand out more than ever. And for a few reasons. I believe Christians always stood out. They were persecuted, and many gave their lives for Christ. But back in 100 years ago, on a Sunday morning, everyone would have been in church and would have heard God's word. This morning, there's very few that go to hear God's word. And it's sad. If you start looking at the churches that actually share God's true word, the number is very sad. And I truly believe this morning that true light will truly shine this morning. And often we talk about, you know, what we can do, and I believe we need to be doing more. But this morning I want to encourage us, if our light is bright and right, it will affect those around us. Lights are seen. In a dark world, a light will be seen. I want to quickly stop here. I have a couple of these books at home, I guess. And it gives a song and then a story about the writer or why he wrote the song. And my mind, as I thought about light, was drawn to, let me get the number, you can look at it. The light of the world is Jesus. It's 625 in the hymns of the church. If you want to turn there, I'd like to sing it before we go on. But I want to read a story that goes with this. Philip Bliss wrote this song. And I'm just going to read the story that they have with this song. It says, on the last Thursday of 1876, Philip Bliss prayed with his boys, Paul 2 and George 4, and explained that he and his wife Lucy were leaving by train for Chicago to sing at D.L. Moody's Tabernacle at the year's end. He said, I would far rather stay than go if it were God's will, he told them, but I must be about the Master's work. And the boys were left in the care of relatives. I will stop there for a minute. Philip Bliss had been a very successful businessman, and he just, I forget which year it was, but I believe he was in this ministry for 12 years where he went around with evangelists, him and his wife, and they sang and wrote songs. And so that's why he was doing this trip. Anyhow, another passenger gives the story. It says, on the Chicago-bound train, Mr. J.E. Burchell later told the story. It says, there were 11 cars on the train that left Buffalo at 2 o'clock Friday afternoon in a blinding snowstorm. We neared the bridge over the Ashtabula River in Ohio at about 7:45. We ran on the structure at a rate of about 10 miles an hour, and the whole train was on the bridge when it gave away. The bridge is about 200 feet long, and only the first engine had passed over when the crash came. The first thing I heard was a cracking in the front part of the car, and then the same in the rear. Then a sickening oscillation, a sudden sinking, and I was thrown stunned from my seat. The ironwork bent and twisted like snakes, and everything took horrid shapes. I heard a lady scream in anguish, then I heard the cries of fire. The crackling of the flames, the whistling wind, the screaming of the hurt made a pandemonium of that little valley, and the water of the freezing creek was red with blood. The fire stole swiftly along the wreck, and in a few moments the cars were in flames. The whole wreck was then on fire, and from out of the frozen valley came great bursts of flame. According to Mr. Burchell, Philip initially survived the wreck, but crawled back through a window to save his wife. Both perished together. Among Philip's last hymns was "The Light of the World is Jesus," with its fitting final line, "No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told, the light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. the light of the world is Jesus. And then in parentheses it says, the Bliss family home is in Rome, Pennsylvania, and is now the P.P. Bliss Gospel Songwriter Museum. And I looked it up, and is still a museum there today. As I thought about that, no, it doesn't give a reason he wrote this song. But as I thought about that, I believe he was living a life that when people found this song, I believe, that they didn't question why or if he would have been ready to go. They would have believed it, because obviously I believe he lived it. And maybe he chose a different direction for his life than you and I, but God used him mightily. I'd like to sing this song, and then we'll continue. Maybe, why don't we stand, and Delvin, if you could start it for us. 625 in the Hymns of the Church. I want to turn to John 8 and continue here. Verse 12, then it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, when you bring light into something, you come have a dark room and you bring a light into there, you see the light. Your eyes aren't drawn to the darkness. When you're sitting around a campfire, humans are attracted to fire. Like, we love to sit there, at least I think most people love to sit there and watch a campfire. And I don't know what all it is, but it's that light, especially when it's dark. You sit there, it brings a coziness there. It feels good. People are drawn to light. And this morning, when you think about Christ later says, ye are the light of the world. I had to stop and think about that, because people aren't drawn to, people have celebrities they follow, they like the things they do and say and all that. But for us humans, I believe if we're drawn to someone, we see their weaknesses. When we look at the human, we see their problems soon. We like them, and yet we know the things that's wrong with them before too long. But if they're drawn to Christ, they can't find fault. Christ says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This morning, if you've chosen Christ, you will have his light in him. And if his light isn't evident in your life, we need to stop and take a look. What is wrong? You know, we tend to talk about candles, and if we're going to go back to Matthew and look at that. It talks about, but I tend to think of Christ's light, and I like how it says in verse 1 of that song, it says, like sunshine at noonday. And you think about a bright, sunny, beautiful day, and the sun's just beating down. And at noon especially, it's straight above, there's really no shadow below. That's how Christ's light changes. The blood of Christ cleanses us, makes us different. Light doesn't blend with darkness. There's not a kind of a transition into light. It's light or darkness. And I believe you and I have a high calling. We are called to walk circumspectly, the Bible says. And later on here in John, it says, Jesus said to those, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Christ calls us to be disciples. Christ calls us to spread his word. Christ calls us to make a difference. Same as that salt this morning. Let's first go back to that and look at that. We use salt for so many things. Christ says, ye are to be that, but then he right away puts in, he says, but if you've lost your savor, you're worth nothing. And then he goes on to this light. And this song was used in many revivals, it says later. And people were drawn to the song. And it said not, they didn't even know the writer after 20 years probably. Philip Bliss was forgotten pretty much, other than we see his name at the top of the song. But they were drawn to it because it said, people feel that the world is getting dark. And as this song was sung, and I love the song, it's a beautiful song, the music fits so well. But it said that so many people were drawn to it because of the light. And as I thought about that, you know, as an evangelist and as a singer that went around with traveling evangelists in the old days, all the darkness he's seen, all the people that he saw hurting, suffering, because they went into the cities, they preached to those that were seeking, those that were hurting, those that were, whoever would listen. And I found it interesting, Philip Bliss gave his heart to the Lord in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And his dad was preaching, and it said there was, I think, 10 people in the room. And I just because of where I grew up, it stood out to me. But I thought about that. He said, as he sat there with the many, it said a couple old cowboys, and there was two drunks there. And he said, I realized, even though I grew up in a Christian home and probably had a very influential father, his father was a traveling evangelist. He said, I realized that at that moment without Christ, I was no better than the worst of those that were in the same room. You know, the world is dark. The world sees light. Ye are the light of the world. This morning, my burden this morning is that as we look around us, that we realize that you and I can make a difference. No, if we look to ourselves to make the difference, we won't. But with Christ in us, we will make a difference. Go back to Matthew 5. And he talks about, he says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And you think about that. You see, maybe when you're traveling, you see something way up on a hill. Often when they put towers up there so that it'll reach further. You see that. It sticks out. Our light, our lives need to be lived in a way that is like that. So that people see us. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light into all that are in the house. I didn't bring a candle this morning, but you know, you see these homes that have them. We don't use candles because we don't need to really anymore, other than now we have the smelly ones to make it smell better. But in the old days, they used them for light. And, you know, they wouldn't light a candle and put it down in here so that I could sit here and read this. They would put it up so that the light spread around it. Christ is teaching us here. He says, neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light. Christ says, I am lighting you up, and I want you to go light the world. He is not saying, I want you to, you've made a choice, you're all good now, you can come sit here and relax. He says, I am giving you light, take it to the world, make a difference. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. There's a key there. He says, I want them, first of all, to see it. Christ says, I want them to see this light. What is that light? Is it our good works? He makes it a question there. He says that they may see your good works. Is that drawing them to us? No, he answers it. He says, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You know, so often we want people to recognize the hard work we're doing. We're doing so much for the church, for whatever organization we're working in. But he says, I want them to see what you're doing. I want them to see your light. And he says, I want them to glorify me. And that's Christ. That's God talking. He wants them, Christ talking. He says, I want them to glorify your Father, your Creator this morning. What is our lives doing? What is our, as we journey through life, am I affecting those around us? Am I making a difference? Am I a light that is going out? John 5, verse 35, it says, he was a burning and a shining light. And I thought about that. Have you ever sat under a dentist chair and they put those big bright lights above you? You can't look into them. They're so bright. You feel the heat in your face. But you know what? The dentist can see what's going on. He knows what he can see what he's doing. And I believe that's how Christ's light is. Christ's word is powerful. It's like that People feel it. The light is so bright, they feel it. It's a difference. They understand that there's something more than just a little candle making a difference. Our works, our actions need to be different. They need to glorify God. And, you know, there's many people that preach that we just need to share Christ. We just need to tell them about Christ's love. That is very true. That's a start. But our actions need to do the same. We need to do what we say. It's very easy to talk about what all Christ can do and will do if we allow him, but do they see it in us? Do they see it in practice? Because I believe if our actions draw attention to us, we will turn people from God. But if our actions draw people to Christ, they will be saved. Our works need to bring glory to God. This morning we're called to do that. We're called. Christ says, I have lit you up. I want you to go out. I want you to spread the word. And he says, I don't want you hiding under a bushel. He says, I want you out there where everyone can see you. And I love those verses. I have a lot of these underlined because as I think about that, you know, we can talk about all kinds of things, but this morning, is Christ's light evident in me? Is it making a difference? Am I willing to allow Christ to put me wherever he chooses so that through me his light shines out of me? And I believe God puts us at places at times because and allows people to meet us, see us, whatever, because we don't know what all God's plans are, but he has a perfect plan for us. Allow him to lead us. Christ, in many times, he says, I have put you here so that none would perish. He said, I don't want anyone to perish. This morning, another, I guess, can I say, burden I have is we tend to kind of pick the category of people that we want to reach out to. And I'm talking to myself here. Am I willing to help the down and out, the lonely, the hurting? You know, in business, you're always trying to get somewhere in business. So you meet the ones that you feel would benefit you. And yes, we need to, I believe, relate Christ to them. They should feel it in our business deals. But let's back up. Who did Christ? Let's think about the marriage supper there. It says those that were invited didn't come. Where did he go to find people to come to the meal? He went into the alleys, into the back corners. And I'm not saying we need to go move into the city now because we need to reach those that are there. We need to be doing that everywhere. As we go through work, there are many down and outers, whatever you want to call them, people that need Jesus. That's just how it is. And I believe as a light, we don't choose where we're going to shine. We shine because Christ is in us and Christ wants us to shine everywhere. And I just have a burden that we would be faithful in that, in our community. Am I willing to take the 10 minutes or whatever amount of time it is to talk even to, I don't know how it is for you, we go to No Frills and some of them probably we couldn't help. But am I willing to give them at least an encouraging word, some of those men that come traipsing over and they want to take your cart, you know, for the loony? Can I at least smile at them? Tell them Jesus loves them, whatever it is. I admit myself, I try to go around the vehicle the other, whatever it is, because we want to avoid those because we think we call them lazy. If we were them, we would go work. Well, we're not them. If we were them, we'd probably be there too. It's a choice, yes. But some of them have, we don't know all the circumstances. Christ wants us to shine, and we need to shine for everyone. The whole world is lost, it says, in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus, like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. That's talking about you and I when Christ's light touched us. And in verse 2, he says, no darkness have we who in Jesus abide. Christ makes a difference. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. And then I love that last verse. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in that city of gold. You think about that. Christ preparing a place for each one of us. This morning, ye are the light of the world. Make a difference. Be a light that shines everywhere. That is evident. Don't be scared to be put on a hill. If Christ calls us to be up where people can laugh at us or whatever it is, be a light, because Christ has called us to that. This morning, I guess, or this last week, my burden was just that we would be faithful here. It's easy to look around, talk to some of your friends somewhere else, and you know they're going and they're having maybe a big street meeting this weekend, and I was like, boy, we're not doing much. What am I doing where Christ called me to today? Am I making a difference here today? Am I being a light? Because the whole world is lost, like that song says. And, you know, as they found that song after Philip Bliss's passing there, I don't believe any of them questioned that he was living that way. If you and I had something like this happen, after we're gone, what do people say about us? What do they remember about us? Let's be lights here. Let's be faithful.